Welcome to Soul Chat, a platform created by queens, recognized queens, to help bring out the queen in you and helping you master yourself holistically. We aim to be the light at the end of the tunnel with topics and guests that speak to your soul. So join us as we take you on an epic journey with powerful people sharing powerful stories and tools to bring out the best in you. Welcome everyone to the Soul Chat podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am so excited. Y'all always know I'm excited to have any type of guest on here because you know we're bringing the heat. Like y'all should already know that and expect that from this podcast. Soul Chat was created to have conversations deeper than the surface. Deeper than the surface so we can all expand and grow together and learn together and just have conversations that really allow us to feel deeper, think deeper, and to be changed and healed in the moment. And I know this conversation is going to be very healing for a lot of people listening to it. I'm so excited to have this beautiful guest. Her name is Herdeen Mercier. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, you did.
All right. So, you know, I always read the bio, but then we're going to get into the depth of this beautiful soul that God has allowed me to align with. I believe that happiness and sadness exist in a delicate balance. The goal is not to allow our unhappiness to overtake the good times, the successes and the laughter and joys in order to maintain our emotional well-being. Dealing with grief has piqued my interest since I was a little girl. I remember attending funerals with my father and wondering, why do people die? Why do people cry? How can we overcome death? Existential questions that my six-year-old self could not answer. As an adult, however, it dawned on me one day that there is a way to defeat death. It is by living life. Oof. Fully and intentionally, it is by recognizing that every moment we have breath in our lungs is a gift from God. It is by preparing for tomorrow without fearing any curveballs that might be thrown our way. Herdeen Mercier is a licensed clinical social worker, certified grief coach, retreat facilitator, and transformational speaker. She is also the host of Redefining Grief podcast. Herdeen's life calling is to create non-judgmental spaces for broken hearts to heal and purposeful living restored. Alongside her husband and best friend, Dr. Jameson Mercier, they own and operate Mercier Wellness and Consulting. They use their expertise and experience to help individuals, couples, and families deal with the heartbreak and unresolved grief that lead to unhealthy coping skills. Herdeen has been seen on television and heard on radio. She has also spoken at conferences and retreats where she shares the gospel of overcoming grief and restoring the heart in order to live a purposeful life. Herdeen has been married for over 13 years to her best friend, Jameson, and also a licensed clinical social worker. She lives in a full house with their three beautiful children, wonderful children, Asriel,
yes.
Tamar, mm-hmm. and Jason.
Yeah.
And with her brother, Hurlton. The family also has their carefree cats, Marshmallow, Penny, and Whiteout. They are known as the power couple, as you may have heard them on the Rick Party radio show on Hot 105 FM. Her favorite word is wisdom, which y'all know I repeat that like a broken record. Wisdom is my favorite word on the planet because one of my favorite Bible verses, don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her and she will guard you.
That is true.
It is so true. So welcome to the podcast, beautiful soul.
Thank you, queen.
Oh my gosh. Welcome. I know this is going to be such a word today. Such a word that I've even opened my heart and my spirits to receive. Every time I have any guests, I know that the conversation is expansive for us, mm-hmm. as well as the people who are listening. So very first question, first and foremost, is who are you to you? Who are you in your own words?
I am a soul that has decided and made the choice to activate purposeful living by understanding and embracing the heartaches and learning that they weren't here to destroy me, but they were here to build me up.
Mm.
So I'm on fire to teach others how to do it.
Yes.
And my community is called the Grief Crusaders. I'm the chief grief crusaders because I live with this notion that everybody needs guidance or connection. Everybody needs a safe place to heal. Mm-hmm. And so I teach others how to do it. And mm-hmm. I'm so honored that God gave me that life calling.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. Ashe to that. Amen to that. Because it's so funny when we think about the experiences and the griefs that we take into our hearts, and we almost, I have felt sometimes you feel undeserving of being seen mm-hmm. in that vulnerable space, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just excited to really have this conversation. So first and foremost, for those out there that don't understand grief, can you just share with us from your clinical perspective and knowledge, what are the levels of grief? Because you had said something to me that, you know, I just really personally operate in spirit. So I just don't know why I know what I know or why I understand things at that level. But then I hear professionals say it and I'm like, oh, that's what that is. It's like, that's what I'm doing over here. You know what I'm saying? So I just, it just helps me to, and you had said to me, you said, I think you're going through a rebirth. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I am. Like, I feel that too, but I don't know the stages of grief. You know what I'm saying? I can uh-huh. tell you what I might hear. I've heard what they are, but I've never gone to really search them up and see like, what are the levels of grief? So can you share that with us,
please? I think before I even get into, let's just kill the myth right now. Okay. There is no stages of grief okay. for individuals who are living. That is a myth. And that is why I'm out here just talking about it, getting on stages, letting people know you can't police grief. You can't put grief in a box. And when Dr. Ross created the stages of grief, she created those stages of grief for individuals who just got a phone call that they have stage 4 cancer and it's time to go into hospice and they're dying.
Okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. And guess what? Most professionals do not know that. I've hear therapists repeat stages of grief all the time. And it just makes me cringe because I was one of them. Mm-hmm. Until I went in depth in study, mm-hmm. getting the certification, I got that aha moment of, wow, no wonder it wasn't working for me. Because grief is not an intellectual thing. Grief is a heart thing.
Yes.
And grief is this normal and natural process to dealing with your heartbreak. And now, oftentimes, there's this number one myth. I can only grieve when someone passes away, right? No, mm-hmm. babes. I mean, here on Soul Chat, I'm about to give it to you so you can free your soul. And it is this. You can grieve whatever you want, anything that you have experienced a heartbreak about, it is worthy of activating your healing by dealing with it,
yes.
right? So grief, what do we grieve about? We grieve when relationships end. It could be a divorce. It could be the end of an engagement. It could be the end of two siblings looking at each other and saying, in this season, we're just not digging each other. I think it's time we have a homegoing ceremony for this relationship so that we can birth anew, mm-hmm. right? We grieve our finances. Mm-hmm. We grieve when we move. We grieve when there's a graduation. We grieve when there's a wedding. How so? Mm-hmm. You're probably thinking, Herdeen, how do we grieve all these things? We grieve all these things because grief is this conflicting feeling that you go from happiness to sadness. For example, the wedding day is a great day. And I have a perfect example. My sister was getting married to the love of her life over 15 years ago. I was fine during the rehearsal. The day of the wedding, I love my brother in love, Charles. I love my sister. They're just an amazing couple. And I'm like, Earl, and as I'm preparing, because I was the matron of honor, and as I'm preparing to enter the ceremony, I have like flashes of us playing in the room, of us talking, singing. Like, it just, like my life just flashed, just memories of me and my sister. Mm-hmm. And I was a hot mess walking down the aisle. I'm talking about hot mess. I'm just, and I was happy for them. But in that moment, I realized that after today, the moment my sister says, I do, he becomes her first and no longer me. So you get that? How grief is this conflicting feeling. It is normal to process. That's how it came out. You can't control it. I didn't know I was going to react like that. I didn't know those visions would have triggered me. So we grieve when we're in relationship with in-laws that are toxic. Like, anytime your heart break, you deserve to heal your soul by honoring those emotions. And so I hope you understand, you cannot put grief in a box. Don't police it. Learn to process it so that you can activate purpose, because oftentimes people believe that they are in charge of their emotions, but what they don't realize is they're in an illusion, because the grief, unresolved grief, will drive your decisions that you make in your life for fear of never being hurt again.
I hope y'all caught that. You said, say it again one more time for those that need to write that again and don't want to rewind.
Here we go. So unresolved grief is the force that literally drives your emotions and the decisions that you make in life.
Yes.
Until you get those heartbreaks decision in check, it will always drive you down the wrong path. Purposeful living requires you to show up in truth and activate the healing so you can do the necessary heart work to literally, I didn't say get over. I don't believe in getting over. I believe in working through it so you can understand the lesson, you can grow, you can fill your wisdom cup, and you can mature in it as you evolve in this thing called life. Every day is a new lesson. Every time the sun rises, it's a new day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new day.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much. And you know, I've been really, you know, since 2020, I've just been in such a divine sense of alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And two things. Yesterday, I literally just had a conversation with someone about grief. And I don't know how we even started talking about grief. Now, and, you know, we don't realize the emotion, but it comes up in so many ways. Like you said, our finances, when you leave a relationship, I realized I was grieving many things. I was grieving a friend, like losing that friend. I was grieving, you know, losing a partner. I was grieving the fact that I stayed there for, like, all these different things were just like, whew. And I think if I didn't have enough wisdom, this is where wisdom is just like that blanket to know, I would have. You know, and I think this is how we run into new relationships quickly, or how we, like in your bio, talks about we gravitate towards unhealthy coping mechanisms because we don't know the emotion enough to work through it. And then the podcast, the lady just asked me, I was just on, she said, well, how do we find stillness? And I said, to me, stillness is found in wisdom. Because it's a depth of understanding and knowledge that no matter what you go through, you know, it's just the through, you know, it's not a destination. It's not a place to sit and hang out and mourn for forever. And, you know, even that lie, I think another lie is that healing takes time.
Healing has no time frame. And that's my perspective. Healing has no time frame, but what I notice is, especially with dealing with individuals with grief, they have their they have this thing that they believe if they do nothing, the time will heal the wound.
There we go. There we go. That's it.
But mm-hmm. if you want to heal the wound, you have to actively do something to heal it.
Yes, yes.
That's it. It's like you just because 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 20, 25, 35 years go by, nothing, you're still emotionally that same age when it happened to you.
Yes.
So if the molestation happened to you at 10, you've never dealt with it. You can be 55 years old, but emotionally you're stuck as a 10-year-old.
Yes, you
are. I hope
I'm
making sense.
You are making sense.
So you have to learn how to activate it. And sometimes it's very difficult. That's why I say lean in with the therapist that certifies, or, you know, you just don't go to any doctor. If you needed heart surgery, you go to a heart doctor. Mm-hmm. It's just like with grief. When you're interviewing the individual that is going to be that safe place for you to release your pain without judgment, you got to understand, are they qualified? Yes, they can be a therapist, but are they qualified to take on this particular subject? And baby, when I say I'm qualified, I started this journey at the age of 7. I don't need the certification. I was called for this. And so when the downloads came at a young age, I thought he was gearing to me to become a mortician. Mm-hmm. But then when I spent some time working at a funeral home, I realized this ain't it, Jesus. What is it?
Yeah.
You know? But he had to take me through that process because I was in my life class of understanding my purpose, that I had to marinate in those environments. So that when people come my way, baby, I already know what it is because of the years and the expectations and the questions and really looking at this thing called life. What is life? Living in faith and focus every day. But what keeps us from not living in faith and focus every day is the distractions. And the enemy knows if he can keep us distracted, he can keep us away from our purpose.
Yes.
Hello, somebody.
Chills. Okay, yes, yes. And this is literally reiterating what I was just talking about and just our ability to practice distraction. And, you know, she said, well, how do we become more aware and more still? Well, you wake up and you practice distraction. You pick up your phone, you look at your email, you look at your bank account, you look at your text messages, you look at all these things. Mm-hmm. And I always hear God saying, and all the little, you know, all the angels and spirits that guide me on a daily basis, you know, I kept hearing them say, come to me before you come to the world. Come to me. Come to me. None of that matters. And everything you want is within you just coming into me, which is into yourself, which is going to help you expand, release and let go. And, you know, and heal. And we were talking about, you know, we avoid that because I think people just, when we have to sit with our grief, the discomfort, to me, I don't know if you agree with that or if you could speak to that, but like the discomfort is what we avoid. And it reminds me of like when I had my second daughter, I waited too long to get to the hospital. I stayed home. So when I got to the hospital, they were like, you know, you can't get the epidural. Now, my first experience with having a child and I got the epidural, I didn't like the epidural, but I still was going to get it the second time because I knew it hurt. I knew it hurt. In my mind, I had believed it hurts more to push her out naturally than it does to push her out with the epidural. But that was the epidural was actually a horrible experience because I couldn't feel. And this is like a pure analogy to like what we avoid. I couldn't even feel giving birth. I couldn't even feel where I was pushing. I had to just visualize it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I didn't feel anything. I couldn't walk. It was just, I didn't like that experience. So they said, you know what? You can't get the epidural. And I'm like, oh, man. So I had to give birth to her naturally. And that taught me that at that point with my first child where I gave up and I said, I don't want to feel this. God, I don't want to feel this pain. It's too much. It's mm-hmm. too much to bear. I want to go back to my coping mechanisms, which was that epidural.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Health coping mechanism. And when I had pushed her out and finally had her, I was like, that was it. All I had to do was push past that little itty bitty moment to come through and give birth to this baby girl.
Let me tell you. Let's stay on this analogy, because you're talking to a sister who is afraid of needles, right? And I got myself pregnant 3 times by the love of my life, Dr. Jameson Mercier. You hear me? Having a good old time, right?
Okay.
Listen, firstborn, I knew from day one when I found out I was having Azriel, I said, I don't know what we're going to do, Father, but you're going to get me through this. And I planned it. You see, you got to plan how you want. And sometimes plan change, but at least plan. Yes. To achieve the goal. And yeah. The goal was, I'm going in. I'm having my firstborn naturally. Not because I wanted to be some superhero of saying, oh, I had my baby naturally. I'm just not one of those women. I had the baby naturally because I was afraid of needles. And so when it came, I went through it 14 hours. 16 hours, nothing. And it was at the very last minute, I look over at my husband and I go, I can't take it no more. It's time for the epidural. And this is the importance of having someone in your life that heard your vision and then can hold you accountable to make sure it comes to pass. I hope I'm making sense, y'all.
Yes.
So he looks at me and he say, baby, you remember what you said? You're afraid of needles. We are almost there. Keep pushing.
Yes.
Oh. And so at the very end, when I felt like giving up, he was there to remind me, keep pushing. And I was able to have Azriel naturally. And had my goal of not experiencing a needle in my back, because I told someone that could hear my dreams and help me manifest it. So I'm here to say, who are you speaking to about your pain? Are they able to hold it with you? Or are you emotionally dumping where you just want to release but do nothing about it? That's why in the month of February, all on my social media platforms, especially Instagram, where I love to play, I talk about actively healing. No longer do I allow anyone to emotionally dump over and over and over again if they do not want to actively put some footwork behind it.
Speak to somebody.
So when they come to me, what is the vision? What is the vision for your healing?
Yes. Ooh, I gotta write that down.
What is the vision for your healing? That's one of the questions that is gonna be in my grief journal that will be released this year. It will be done. In March, and it will be up and running in April. You all are the first to hear that her Dean Mercier is
my book, friend.
Yes.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
That'll be the last question. I'll put your name right by it.
Yes. Thank you. What is the vision for your healing?
Ooh.
Because I think we need to get away from this idea that I'm just going to go to my friend, talk about my boo thing, tell her how he's not someone that is emotionally available to be there for me, and then go right back to him. So the truth of the matter is, no longer am I holding space, emotional space, for individuals who are not actively wanting to heal.
Yes.
Because now I got to protect my peace.
Yes. It's so funny you said that. So, in full transparency, I'm on my third day of fasting. So I have not had any food. It'll be 3 days officially today at 7:00. And there's just been things God has been speaking to me. And I think by showing up here in these spaces with you and just doing whatever I continue to do and like really being you know, just led by spirit, led by like, I got to interview her. We got to do this. We got to, you know, and everyone that I've talked to today and yesterday, whatever. But in my spirit, I heard that. That's what I heard. Don't hold space anymore for people who don't want to change. Because I told my friend a few weeks ago, and she got so emotional about it. And I said, I'm never going to say this to you ever again. And I didn't get a chance to get it out because she was so moved that I had started the conversation like that. But I said, I'm never going to say this to you ever again. Never. And she's like, oh my God, what is it? 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 Why? Never, never again. Not. I said, nope, never again. I said, and that was a promise to myself. Mm-hmm. I said, but I'm never going to say this to you again. And it was that right there, which is I'm no longer holding space for people who do not know the vision for their healing, because it is abuse to yourself, right? Yeah, yeah. And it is us just getting together, low vibrating on the experience, but the experience, just like in your bio, the experience, there's a lesson there. There's wisdom there. And if we continue to talk and I allow you to talk, you are not moving in wisdom. I am not moving in wisdom. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I don't think that's even being a great friend. So if I have to not talk to you as a form of you healing and whatever it is that you're going to do, but I'll tell you this, I'm not coming to your house because I don't want to be around that dysfunction and chaos. Mm-hmm. And I'm not listening to the dumping of you not having wanting to take accountability for your healing and whatever that plan is that you need to do that, because it's you know, I'm just in a season of, and I think as we elevate, it's just how things drop off, and we have to create the space for the good things and for the people that want to hear us and for God just even speaking through and to us, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? And you realize, wow, I'm even being a little distracted, you know, of my purpose if I'm just allowing this in my ear.
Yeah, I will tell you this, just like I tell my clients, sometimes we are so committed to pain that it is normal, mm-hmm. and that to heal, it means to be uncomfortable. So the very first statement they get in their very first session with me is, you got to be willing to, by signing up with me in my program, you are signing up to be in a season where you're uncomfortable so that you can get to purposeful living.
Yes.
And if you are more committed to telling the story just to tell it, baby, this not the place for you.
No.
Because I'm on assignment.
Yes.
My life assignment is to create safe space for individuals who are ready to heal, for individuals who are saying enough is enough. No longer is the shackles of my life experience, whatever that may be, molestation, rape, domestic violence, breakup, financial issues, moving, pet loss, whatever that grief situation is, no longer will I allow it to keep me shackled emotionally. You know, I had a guest on my podcast who said, unresolved grief robs you a second time.
Oh, it doesn't.
Ooh, I still get chills every time I think about it. Unresolved grief robs you a second time. It robs you of your time. It robs you of the present experience. It robs you of relationship with people that God is sending you your way. It robs you. And so this message is for individuals who say, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to live. I'm ready to activate my life. I'm ready to go from grief to purpose.
Yes.
Because you got to remember, grief is a distraction that keeps us in bondage, mm-hmm. so that we don't wake up to the idea that God created us for better. Mm. So... Mm-hmm. And you know, and oftentimes I get, but how do you heal? How do you get through these things? I developed something because I went through my own despair. And my biggest grief wasn't a man, because I spoke him into my life. I'm not shocked of the father that he is with his children. I spoke that before I even knew him. But you got to understand my history with my career. See, I was battling career grief because I had parents who migrated by boat from Haiti to get me to the United States. And I learned of that from a young age. And at a young age, I just remember saying to myself, I got to do something to live the American dream. There were two individuals who risked their life from a baby girl that was not even in my mama's wombs. I got to do something. I got to activate whatever I'm here for. Going to those funerals with my parents at a young age and crying when they did not take me, because every time I went, I learned a life lesson. I learned not to play with matches because I saw five caskets in front of a church with one grandma and four grandkids. One of them played with the match. And so this is what I'm here to tell you. Grief is here to teach you a lesson if only you would obey and open your eyes to it. And so for me, my career grief was like, I did everything right. I've gone to school. I wasn't the perfect elementary, middle, or high school student, but I was determined as a first generation, I'm going to get a degree. But even after getting the degree, when I came out and went to the people's job, it was not for me.
Right.
It wasn't in alignment with my mind, my body, and my soul, and it kept me up at night. And the thing that happens oftentimes when things keep you up at night, you run away from God because you feel as if he does no longer hears you. I've been there. I've done that. But then I kept getting up. That sunrise, come on, Jesus, is today the day you're going to reveal it? And me not knowing that my purpose was always within me. It wasn't about exterior factor. The reason I never accepted my life purpose because I thought it was too easy. I thought everybody had the ability to help individuals who were grieving. And it took a coach, Patrice Washington, for me to be doing a presentation for our retreat. And I started the Wifidence movement under Patrice and her leadership and coaching me. And Patrice was like, that's it. Her and Courage Molino. That's how we know each other, Ebony. They both looked at me and said, baby. And I remember saying, that can't be it because it's so easy. And so I hope you learn from my experience. Your gift is already within you. If you would just cut out the noise and the distraction and allow yourself to be still in a season, he will reveal. But you got to keep asking the questions. You got to. And so I went through this process. Okay. And these are my grief anchors that I literally teach people how to run through. The grief anchor says the very first one is that truth anchor. It liberates the soul. You know, when we tell the truth, it sets us up for freedom. Find that safe place so you can tell the truth about your pain and our sorrow. What people don't understand is when they go to tell the truth to individuals who cannot hold space for them emotionally, because they don't know what to do, they make comments that add to the pain.
Yes, yes, they do.
So you got to be wary of that. The second one is the heart anchor. And it's saying hearts can be restored. You got to understand, yes, your heart is broken, but you are not broken. Yes. And there's nothing God can't patch up. The third anchor is that connection anchor, power in community. I was in community on my quest of searching what my purpose is, I invested in a coach. I invested in someone to help me along the way. And oftentimes we are more committed to investing in a bag that we'll never get a return off than we're more committed to being invested in ourselves.
Yeah.
I think the biggest self-love for you is to learn how to invest in yourself, not a name brand material thing. Yeah. That cannot give you nothing back, especially a car that once you leave the parking lot, it loses its value.
Yes.
The fourth anchor that I talk about is trust without reservation. Because oftentimes when we are hurting, when we are in pain, the first non-tangible thing that we say to ourselves is, God, are you listening? Have you forgotten me? You begin to question the creator. I know I did.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I kept showing up even when I was mad at him. I told him the truth of how I felt.
For sure.
And he just kept working on me. Yes. And then the last one is the restoration anchor. And that is saying emotional well-being. Mm. Emotional well-being. That's where we all want to be. But we can't get there if we do not tell the truth about how we feel. Instead of pacifying our emotions in toxic relationships, on people's jobs who do not see us, or being busy, or being in the refrigerator door having all types of meal, numbing that pain so we pacify it with things that does not serve us and keeps us from our life's purpose.
Yes.
And so I'm just here to say, Queen Ebony, that you got two choices. You can decide to get uncomfortable so that you can win, or you can decide to be comfortable and lose everything. The choice is always yours.
That is so deep. I hope y'all are taking notes and y'all are just breathing this into your whole spirit. Because that is such a word. And if you listen to any of all the podcasts that are just going to be flowing out through this channel right now are so in alignment with this revelation and calling us to really get uncomfortable, to really feel what we feel and to invest. That was such an important thing that you said, because when we step into spaces where people can hold space for that truth, it births something so wonderful out of the spirit and out of, you know, what it's like what you're seeking is seeking you. And it's just that deeper level of understanding that we need, which is your favorite word, wisdom, to allow these feelings to flow through us and not become anchors of which we see the world. And we create this bitter, angry, resentful, hateful truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then we connect with people who believe the same thing. And then we think it has to be true because everybody else believes it too. And it's like, no, you know, there is a whole new way of living. And what you are teaching people is that purposeful living, which we all desire.
Mm-hmm.
We all at the core of our beings truly do desire that.
I'm going to have to disagree, sis.
Some of us desire to live in pain.
We desire it, but it's a wish.
Okay. You're
the
right.
Only way to activate it is putting the work behind it.
Yes. Yes.
You can desire whatever you want. I can desire to be a millionaire, but if I don't do the work, I'm not going to be a millionaire. Yes. I can desire to have faith, but if I do not activate it by practicing it when times get tough, I'm never going to have that muscle.
Mm. Very true.
In 2021, God set me down for 6 months last year towards the end. Everybody else is saying, when is the Redefining Grief podcast coming out? When you coming back on social media? I said, God hasn't released me yet. Let me tell you, towards almost the end of December, he said, it's time. And then he tells me in 2021, your assignment is to teach people how to actively heal. So that's all I'm focusing on. What comes out of your mouth has to activate.
And the only way it's going to activate is when you do the work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the shift for 2021. Actively healing. Who are you anchored in?
Mm.
Who are you anchored in? That's why I talk about the anchors. Because some of us are living on the shallow side of life. To anchor a boat, if you've ever been on a cruise, it has to go deep. And when it goes deep, it holds that boat still. And some of us are trying to anchor on the shallow side of the beach where it's not required. And you wonder why your spiritual life can't get any deeper. Let me shut up, because this is what I'm saying. If you are not ready to activate by putting the work behind the vision, baby, you ain't doing nothing but emotionally dumping.
Yes. Yes. And you know, that's so funny, because that's why I headed into meditation. I'm not meditation, fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard God say, starve your body so I could feed your mind. As soon as I said that, my stomach said, you know, and I started to hear the battles between the mind and the body, you know, and the dialogues and the different things and really being able to see the power of the mind to talk us into everything. You need to eat every day. You need to eat 3 times a day. You always got to eat. If you don't eat, you're probably going to die. And, you know, all the things that we think. And to me, it, you know, God is anchoring me in what I always know, but may have not always done. And that's what was revealed in stepping away from that relationship, was like, Ebony, that's fine. You knew these things, but you weren't really doing the work, because you weren't letting go. You weren't recognizing the signs and the signals and the next steps. I was avoiding them. I was avoiding them because I didn't want to live in that grief. I didn't want to live in that pain. And I only realized that when I made the choices that God, you know what God did to me? Because God knows I've been following the path and the light for a long time, like you, since a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
I really did pay attention to those little breadcrumbs, and that's what I chose to focus on. And God started just making my life. He just started taking things away from me, my house, my car. My lights were getting turned off, and I'm like, wow, God.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not waiting for me no more to make this decision, right? Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, I have an assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can't do our own work, we can't be in full assignment.
Mm-mm.
So even this level of 2021, I feel like God is really placing me in a space to own the assignment and to do my own work and to get real with the things that I've allowed to keep me distracted.
Let me tell you, sis, the moment I got still, the moment I got quiet, the moment I allowed to anchor in my creator, when I came back, it's like a slingshot effect.
Yes.
Me being still felt as if I'm stagnant. It was a slingshot effect, because what happened was, the moment I got back, I now got clients in Russia, coaching clients in Canada, coaching clients in Singapore, coaching clients in the United States, coaching clients. Do you hear me? All over the world. Speaking events all over the world. Because I allowed myself to be still. And the reason people are afraid of being still, because they don't want to know the truth. Do you hear me, sis?
I do.
International access. without even really having to work and grind. I don't believe in a grind, because when you are in purpose, purpose chases you.
Mm-hmm. They say God makes space for your gifts, right?
Come on now.
Your gifts make space for you. Yes. Yes. And you just gave me chills because I had a moment where I allowed someone to emotionally dump their baggage into me. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for it because it showed me my own power, mm-hmm. as well as what others do with their own grief, mm-hmm. and their own pain when they don't want to know mm-hmm. the truth, like mm-hmm. you said. And I've been getting different offers and invitations, and it stretches me, right? Because I had realized that my fear of success and being seen, mm-hmm. you know, was really affecting me from showing up. So I had to, you know, in these spaces, I'm like, well, Ebony, why are you afraid to show up? Why are you afraid to be seen? What's holding you back from just being seen? Be seen. That's your calling. Mm-hmm. Your calling is not about, you know, all the ego things that come with it, but it's about the purpose that you know you have, and then that you know God calls you to speak to thousands of people, millions of people to hear your voice, and being a gift giver in that. Like, you are a gift giver in your Abigail shows this whole time. You are a gift giver in your words. Mm-hmm. And in the simplicity of that, lives are changed, hearts are open, minds are cleared. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I started the podcast, because I wanted to show individuals different stories, tips, activities that you can do to really go from emotionally dumping to purposeful living. Mm-hmm. This ain't a joke. You don't get to play rewind once you go 6 feet under. Mm-hmm. It's over.
Right.
You can't come back. Trust me. Mm-hmm. I've seen many caskets go under the grave. Mm-hmm. I've seen many caskets go. I've seen the Hearns. I believe it's the Hearns where the ashes go. The people don't come back from this. Mm-hmm. You get this one life. In Creole or French, we say, on c'est la vie. Mm-hmm. On c'est la vie. And you gonna be distracted? Mm-hmm. Now, if you distracted because you lack the wisdom, now, you're listening to this podcast that's giving you the wisdom. You mm-hmm. no longer have an excuse.
Right.
You no longer have an excuse.
Yes. 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 Thank you. Come on, somebody. Somebody said that the other day. There's too much information out there for us to be stuck. Way too much. Way too much wisdom. Circulating.
Especially not in 2021. If you didn't learn from COVID in 2020 that in 14 days from getting sick, you can be out of here, never to return on earth, on this green earth again, I don't know what's going to wake you up.
Yes. Yes. And I said that. I didn't mean to sound mean. I had said it one time. I said, if people ain't learned from 2020, I don't know what to tell you, sister.
Brother. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know what else to say.
I don't know what else to say. 2020 really showed me it doesn't matter how much money you got. It doesn't matter what your zip code is. It doesn't matter the cars you drive. It doesn't matter the schools you've gone to. It doesn't matter who your mama or your daddy is. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. Because all of us have an end date except me. Why? I don't have an end date. Because I am determined to show up for my life. So that when my children hear about me, they're going to say, Grandma Herdeen, Grandma Dean lived her life to the fullest. And she taught us how. She taught us how that even though your heart will break, because it's a normal part of life, even though your heart will break, you have to work through it. And I'm leaving the roadmap with the grief anchors. That's it. I'm doing it for the next generation, just like my parents did it for me. Every generation has a right to get better emotionally if the generation before it decides.
Ooh. Y'all, we're gonna let that sit for 1 second. Woo. Wow. And we talk about generational curses. And I have seen the power of deciding. Not only does it go forward on the timeline, but it also goes backwards. And it's so beautiful to witness. It's so beautiful to step into those spaces of continued expansion. Ooh, that just hurt. It didn't hurt my heart. It hit my heart. You know, that was a healing word right there in confirmation.
I'm just willing to get uncomfortable so that the next generation can take it to the next level. I really don't even know what else to say at this point. Because the truth of the matter is, you got to do the work to love yourself enough to want to win.
Come on, somebody. Yes. 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 And that is a testament. Let me just share some real behind the scenes stuff. You know, I prayed to God and I've been praying. First of all, God put 7 days of clarity on my heart. And again, it flowed to talk about simplicity. I had all these other programs I had already built that I've been trying to sell. We'll put quotes around them, right? And then just being distracted and doing all the things, the hustle, right? And God said, go do 7 days of clarity. And I'm like, and then all these things start coming into alignment that make it click. So I just sit down one day, I write it up on a piece of paper, and then I create the landing page. And I'm like, okay, this was simple. So we go, I do it the first time and I go, wow, God. Wow. You know, but until I did my own inner work of accepting my calling, acknowledging my own griefs and my pains, like that just came to me, you know, and I'm just recognizing more and more and more and more the need to be in that space of awareness. When grief visits my door, I let it in.
Yes, I teach. I say, embrace it. Put it on your calendar. I actively teach my clients and myself. Everybody says self-love, self-care, they're doing it. But the moment I tell them, pull out your calendar, and on your calendar, I got this. My husband cracks on me all the time because I go to the dollar store every year and I get a dollar store calendar. And I pencil in me first. If you ask any of your clients, put it on paper. Write out how many times yourself is on this calendar. Most of them come back zero. So how you telling me you practicing self-love? Let me tell you something about self-love, self-care. There's levels to it. There's hierarchies to it. The best of it is emotional wealth.
It is.
Okay? Because if you really want to be successful in life, and I'm talking about money, everything else, get your emotional wealth intact and everything else will flow naturally. That's just the way the universe is designed. And I will tell you what's on the bottom of that is a pedicure and a manicure. But if you want to take it to the next level, like once we get off this call today, I'm going to go get a massage, right? But I take my massage to the next level. Because emotionally, I'm well. So my massage is not a pacifying a thing that I'm doing to make me feel good for a little bit. The massage is really going to be nurturing to my soul and removing toxic. Because this morning, I was driven up, whatever the word is, like just come from one thing to the other, one thing, and then you told me just be still. I went to my favorite place, and that's the backyard in my hammock. The wind is blowing. I just stayed there. I stayed there for a good 45 minutes. I looked at my cat, and I was just out there, and I'm like, I'm ready. Now I'm ready, Father. You've centered me. I got the message, and here I am to deliver it. So don't blame me. Blame the assignment.
Yes. Yes. And it unfolded so perfectly today. And as I watch my life unfold and I watch the glory of everything you're saying, like I can't even pinpoint any of it because I feel like it's just such an expanded universe of thoughts that it's not even, you know, I can't even pinpoint one of the things because there's so many. But as I watch it unfold, as I keep anchoring myself, as I keep expanding in that my emotional wellness.
Restoration.
It's just so beautiful. The things that happen, I mean, it's just, you know, and I was saying to someone yesterday, you know, when we are in alignment, I'll use your word, with assignment, miracles go like this.
Yep.
When they're not, and we're not, I used to feel miracles like this. They'd be like this. Maybe another one. And I laugh when I used to be, and not that I wasn't grateful, you know, I was grateful, but I laugh when I used to be excited to make $10. Mm-hmm. And I was like, thank you, God. And God's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
What?
I'll tell you this. I'm reading the big leap. And there's this one sentence, like in the first three pages, that says, life is at its best when love, money, and creativity is working in harmony. Life is at its best. The big leap.
Yes.
Big leap. Life is at its best when love, money, and harmony are living at its best. It is so good. It is so good. This was really, really good, sis.
This was. It always is. It really always is. And I honor these moments because, you know, I think as spirits, and as someone said it yesterday so perfectly, we are speaking spirits. We are not humans. We are speaking spirits. Mm-hmm. So when we get together for these beautiful moments to pour into each other, to pour into the listeners, you know, this is exactly what it is. Love, money, and harmony. And money just being that energy of abundance, that energy overflow, right? You overflowed and you gave us such a message today. I am so grateful for you. I just honor that ability to be around people who are so amazing because I know it's just a reflection. Yeah. And I'm going to pay very close attention to whatever it is that you teach as far as grief. So just give us one tip, just one tip to leave with. And I think you've given us so many anchors, you know, but what is one tip to start leaning into our emotions in a positive and transformational way?
I think the biggest tip is looking at your calendar and seeing if you're on it, and if you're not and you don't know what to do, connect with the right individual that speaks to your soul and creates a safe space that is non-judgmental and is willing to support you through this journey. Mm-hmm. Because I will tell you, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. But if you decide that you are going to win and you're going to commit, baby, once you get to the other side, it is all worth it. I'm living my best life because of it.
I really am too. That's my favorite song. I don't know if you listen to Cardi B, but there's a Cardi B song which is like, I'm living my best life.
Oh, you know, I need to go listen to it. Let me go listen.
Yes.
On my way to my massage. Guess what I'm gonna be playing?
I'm gonna bop it out. And he said, it's not my birthday, but at least that's what I'm dressed like.
Oh,
you know? It's like that whole vibe. And I just feel all these good things coming my way. I really do. I really just feel so blessed and so blessed to have taken those risks and to keep getting uncomfortable, to get uncomfortable. You know, I invested in a coach that costs $10K that that can hold that space for me. We're working on business and strategy and all that stuff. But if I'm not working on Ebony at the core, all of that won't matter. It don't matter what shiny thing I'm doing. It's not going to matter.
No. Okay? I did an investment too. And if I did not do that investment, I would not be here on the grief mic talking about grief.
Yes. And you know what he said to me that you said? Mm-hmm. That when you invest in yourself, that's a level that you're willing to bet on you. Woo. I said, oh, he's gonna challenge me like that. I said, okay, it's a go. And I had prayed to God for these things. I had prayed to God for all these things. Mm-hmm. But when he had walked into my life, you know, very smoothly, I said, God, this is you showing up and telling me to do this thing because I asked for this and I need to get uncomfortable and I need to move and do these different things to demonstrate my willingness to follow, to listen, and to be obedient.
Yep. And that is the truth.
Thank you so much. Let us know where to find you, follow you, and just do whatever you do it.
Everything happens at herdeanmercier.com, scheduling consultation, listening to the podcast. My blog is coming out soon. My book, I'm saying it on somebody's podcast for the very first time, my journal book, my journal affirmation cards, all of these things will be released within the next 8 weeks. And I'm super excited about it. This journey has really been a journey that of me being committed to have my despair moment, but understanding on the other side, God was going to come through.
Yes.
And so, you know, we can talk all day.
Yes.
But I will say this, everywhere I can be found is at Herdeane Mercier, but where I really love to play is Instagram. And if this episode really touched your heart, let me know who you are. Do not be afraid to come into my DMs. Do not be afraid to tag us and let us know that what we poured or the wisdom. I always say, tell me what wisdom you shared or what wisdom you got from this experience. Come into my DMs, tag me on this, and just let me know that I was able to serve in such a mighty way. Thank you, Ebony, for having me. You know I love you, Queen.
I love you too.
Thank you.
You poured into my heart. Thank you so much. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I know for a fact you got so much out of it. So per usual, you can always support on Anchor from a monetary donation to the Cash App, Heal and Thrive. However, the biggest form of payment that I think is the most valuable is you sharing this with people. If you took something from this, share this with 5 to 10 people. A lot of times on our journey, we think we're the only ones, and that could be that's the biggest lie. Somebody needs this message. And if you came across it and you're listening to it, share it with people. And like she said, get into our DMs, message us, and let us know what you took from it, because this journey is not to be lived alone. And I thank you so much for your time. I thank you for pouring your heart out. I thank you for leaning into your light and all that you are, because it is a perfect, you've demonstrated that right here today and living purposely and what that feels like. That's a whole vibration, sis. And I'm here for it. Yes, best friend. I'm your best friend. What?
Yes, yes. See, sis, what we don't understand is that we get the joys on our face in the smile. They can't see it, but we can see each other. Yeah. And we have this glow happening because we dealt with the mess. And all we want to do is teach you how to do it too. Mm. That's it.
Yes. Yes. I'm still dealing with the mess, Herdeane.
I am too, but guess what? Once you conquer one, you know you can conquer another. So
okay, Goliath. Okay, Goliath. Goliath ain't got nothing upon that stone, though.
Yes. Remember.
Thank you so much.
You got to remember, this life is not perfect, but the requirement of living it is. That's all God is telling us. Live.
Yes, you are the masterpiece and the work in progress.
Yes, and come send me that Cardi B song so I can
yes,
play it.
Yes, I am.
And my husband, my husband F-150, like, on my yes. way to get a massage.
Yes, 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 yes. Best life, yes to joy. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for listening. Y'all have a blessed and beautiful day. Lots of love and light per usual. Thank you so much, Herdine. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Welcome, Queen.
Thank you for tuning in to Soul Chat with your host, Ebony Tatora. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, leave a review, and if you love it, share it with your friends. And make sure you join us next week for another conversation with your soul, bringing you thought-provoking conversations that require you to look a little bit deeper than the surface.